You're listening to the Boogeyman's Closet podcast. Explicit language and spoilers ahead. You've been warned.
And we are back for yet another episode of the Boogeyman's Closet. As always, I am Mike Alvarez.
Maurice Killifer.
Spooky Hunt.
And we are continuing our month of spooky haunted house movies with episode 114, Hellfest, from 2018. It's an hour and 29 minutes, directed by Gregory Plotkin, who we would know, unfortunately, from Paranormal Activity, The Ghost Dimension, Black Mass, and the upcoming Crimson. So I think this is the second newest movie we've reviewed, because I think the first one was The Banana Splits.
Mm-hmm.
Most of our movies are 70s or 80s. But, well, let's go around the table and see what everyone thinks of this little gem. Maurice, we'll start with you this week. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know I like it, because I had to convince you to go see it.
This is true.
You did not want to go see it.
I thought the trailers looked dumb, and I was sorely mistaken.
Shame. Shame.
That's right. Do your walk of shame.
Oh. Wait, I gotta walk?
Yeah.
I'm no, fat, like in what we do in the shadows. We just stand around. Shame.
Oh, I shame. Thought we were doing shame from Game of Thrones.
No, we're not gonna make him strip naked and walk through the village square.
He just wants to see me naked.
That's why I said it. I love the movie. It's nothing great. I don't know. It's a haunted house movie that is actually pretty good.
I actually find it kind of creepy.
Yeah. No, that mask is... It gives me nightmares. And I have to look at myself every day, so... You know it's scary.
The other who I will refer to multiple times in my notes as Hoodie Dude.
Hoodie Dude. but... Now the kills are, you know, they're... Not very creative, but they're pretty cool. I really like the sledgehammer one.
Yeah.
And then there's a twist.
It's a twist.
That I totally forgot about. And I watched this movie ever since it came out every year.
Yeah.
And I still, like, forgot about it. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but... So, I love the twist.
Yeah.
It's kind of creepy, I guess. I love that twist, but...
Yeah. Well, I feel like it really nails the point home.
Right. It came out of, like, nowhere. Like,
yeah.
So, that's good writing. But the acting was okay at best. I mean, the acting's not great.
Yeah, it's your standard slasher fare.
You got Tony Todd in it for 3 seconds.
He's in it for a hot minute.
But he probably got paid a good chunk of change for a hot minute.
He was basically reprising his role from Hatchet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Really, there's no... I mean, the music's pretty good. There's not no, like... actual lyrics music in it, but it's spooky. It's
what about that sweet, sweet Pop Goes the Weasel?
Listen, whenever I hear Pop Goes the Weasel now, I run. I run to the other room. I'll never hear that the same again.
Mm-hmm.
What about the 90s classic? Pop, pop goes the weasel, the weasel. Pop, pop goes the weasel, the weasel.
Is that Limp Bizkit's
song? Pop, pop goes the weasel. No, there's this like... Dad Jeans or something.
Dad Jeans.
Is that Fred Durst sideband?
No, Limp Bizkit like has a new single and it's called like Dad Jeans or something.
Oh,
or
really?
Dad Bod.
I didn't even know. Oh, that.
I don't know. I saw it on Facebook, so it must be true.
I thought you were saying there's a band called Dad Jeans.
Well, they're very.
No,
well,
but that would be friggin' great, wouldn't it? And they'd be like this. They'd be a death metal band too. Hello, we are Dad Jeans. And they would wear the face makeup like Mayhem did.
Holy crap.
Baby be shitting her pants.
Oh. But yes, I like the movie. Like I said, to most people, it's probably not a good movie. I like the movie.
We broke Susie early.
Mm-hmm. thinking about Dan Jeans in their first EP.
They'd have a song called Checking My Cholesterol.
Their jeans would all be hiked up, like, to, like, below their breasts.
And they would have, like, breasts, because they're middle-aged men.
And they'd be, like, really oversized, like, farmer jeans. They'd be really oversized, like, farmer jeans, and some of them would have overalls. But they would...
Are they Dexy's Midnight Runners, though?
Some of them. But they would all have the paint like Mayhem. And they would have skulls. Because they're all middle-aged and balding.
Thanks. I'm wearing shorts right now, so you guys know she's not talking about me.
Maurice does not have dad jeans on.
Secretly, she is.
Oh, please draw dad jeans.
I'm going to have to.
Now,
oh my God.
Next time I come over, I'm going to have to wear those dad jeans. Up to my breasts. My ankles showing.
You have to also have suspenders with the spikes. Remember the metal belts when we were in high school?
Oh, yeah.
Spiked belts?
Yes.
They have to be suspenders with spikes. Mm.
Oh, I like this little band we've created.
Yep.
Whew. Well, Susie, we'll toss it over to you. What are your thoughts on this movie?
This is only the second time I watched it. I watched it on Netflix, and I've left it in my queue because it is a movie that I would go back and watch. And I'm being serious now. My hands are on my hips.
It's got serious pose.
The thing that really creeps me out is the end.
Yeah.
And the fact that at this, like, Halloween rave.
Basically.
Because basically when you enter, it really is just a Halloween rave.
Just liking it.
Something like this could happen. Like, if you think about, like down in Orlando, Universal Studios does the Hollywood Horror Nights.
Yeah, that's what scares me about this.
Like, something like this feasibly could happen. Like, you think the very beginning, we're going to get into it, but, like, they talk about it, fast forward a few years later, and... Something like that could feasibly happen. I think, really, and also I kept confusing Quinn and Asher. I kept interchanging them. So when the one got killed, I actually scratched it out because I realized I wrote the wrong one down. I thought that the sledgehammer kill was like the coolest one.
Yeah.
I thought the special effects with the second kill that we see in the movie... You could tell that, like, they were already, the special effect was already starting to rear its head, so to speak, before it actually happened. But I really liked this movie. I thought it moved at a really good clip.
Yeah.
I liked the characters. Taylor is my favorite one of the bunch.
Yep, me too.
And the ending just really creeps me out, which we'll get to for those who haven't seen it. I don't want to give any too many spoilers, but... That and that ending, and combined with the fact that I could see this happening at something like, even when they did Scare at the Fair.
Yeah.
I could see something like this happening at a haunted house for real, and maybe not finding out about it for days on end, just because of the nature of the attraction. So.
Well, and this kind of has happened before, not technically a murder, but a body in a haunted house. I want to say, I mean, this was, had to be like the 50s or 60s, but it's on the Masters of the Universe documentary that they have on
Masters
Netflix.
Masters of Horror?
No, Masters of the Universe.
Oh, really?
It's the dude who designed Skeletor. As a kid, he was in this like, fun house at a fair, and this body dropped down, and it looked like a real, like, human corpse. Like, he thought, that's a real dead body. And then, you know, fast forward 20, 30 years, like, after he had designed Skeletor, you know, and he based it on that vision that he had in the haunted house, come to find out that was an actual body that was dumped in the haunted house, and nobody knew until it started to stink. So, yeah, that actually did happen. So it's like, that's really fucking creepy.
Yeah, the Skeletor smells like flowers.
But it's like, so think about it. It's like Skeletor, this, you know, evil villain for a kid's cartoon, was based on a corpse, like an actual corpse. So, pretty creepy.
That's pretty bitchin'.
Yeah.
That's not human.
So, now, like both of you, I really enjoy this film. Me and Maurice have mentioned this multiple times on the show that, you know, I also watch it pretty much every year. I mean, granted, we say every year, but it's only been like 3 years, but...
It feels like five.
Yeah.
The pandemic.
Yeah, exactly. But this is something that you bring up a lot, Maurice, about like slasher movies in particular. When they get a little bit too long, it's kind of like overstaying its welcome. And this, like perfect. You mentioned, yeah, it moves at a really good clip, you know. And yeah, an hour and 29 minutes, there's no time wasted.
Right.
It's just, we keep on running.
The one thing, I have several things watching it critically.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing the first time, and for a while I thought maybe I didn't watch this movie. And then when I saw that it was in my Netflix queue and I had already thumbed up it.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
The one thing that got me the first time I watched it, too, and they don't really get into it, is what is Natalie's struggle? What is her existential dread? Right. They keep going back to this, but we don't fucking know what her problem is.
She just has a lot of anxiety.
Like, does she have vagina dentata? Like, what's...
The prequel is teeth.
Yeah, right. Is the prequel teeth?
Yes.
But yeah, I'll give you that. Some of the character development is a bit shallow.
Yeah.
But again, we're playing with a slasher movie, and slasher movies, that's bread and butter.
And like, you don't want an hour and 50 minute slasher movie.
Right. So but why couldn't have just been like Nat came home to visit Brooke, and her arch nemesis Taylor's living with her now.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they could have dropped that whole subplot.
Yeah.
You know, but maybe they were trying to make her seem vulnerable. Like, oh, she has problems.
Or just left it at, I needed to get away because I'm stressed out.
Right.
And just not brought it up again. And then just been like, you want to ride Gavin's D.
Although, to be fair, I think because they did have a prequel and a sequel planned for this,
mm-hmm.
maybe they were going to flesh that out, like, in the next chapter.
Oh, maybe.
But it unfortunately never happened.
Boo.
But yeah, no, I really like this. This is definitely a staple for me. It's right along with Trick or Treat and Night of the Demons. It's going to be one I watch pretty much every spoopy season.
Even though you didn't want to go.
Even though I didn't want to go, yes. Maurice will never let me live that down.
Wow, why you got to bring up old shit?
Now, there's Maurice is at least two for two.
Ah, that's
when,
it.
When it comes to movies that I was like, I really don't want to see this. Like, it looks dumb. There's a couple where he's been like, do you want to see it? And I'm like, eh, sure. Like, I wasn't crazy about the idea going, and I ended up enjoying myself. But this one and Truth or Dare, both of those, I was like, ugh, the trailer looks stupid. You know, and then he got me to go see him, and I ended up loving both of them. So there's
Blumhouse.
Right. Well, that's why now when you're like, you want to go see him, I'm like, sure. Because like I said, I trust your opinion. You know, if you think something looks good, even if I think it looks dumb, hey, maybe you saw something I didn't. So... But yeah, overall, great movie. So we'll jump in the cast here. We have the other, or as I will keep calling him, Hoodie Dude.
Why don't you just call him Butterface?
Butterface?
Because it looks like congealed, like, spoiled butter.
I thought he looked like a nutsack.
Mm. Yes, but I can see it.
This is played by...
A droopy nutsack.
By Stephen Conroy. We would know him from The Host, The Outsider, Cell, Stranger Things, and 24 Legacy. We have Natalie, played by Amy Forsyth, Christmas Horror Story, Defiance, The Path, Channel Zero, The No End House, which, if you guys haven't watched Channel Zero, it's a great show. Rise, and We Summon the Darkness, which, really fun movie.
Oh, that is a really fun movie.
I like that a lot. Then we have Brooke, played by Rainn Edwards, The Thundermans, The Bold and the Beautiful, MacGyver, and Snowfall. Were you going to say, Maurice?
Weren't they making a sequel to We Summon
the Darkness? Yeah, I believe so.
We Summon the Darkness.
Yes. I friggin' love that movie.
I think they're making a sequel. They ended it where they could make a sequel.
Yeah, where there's possibility of a sequel. And then we have Taylor, played by Bex Taylor-Klaus.
Tay-Tay!
They were in The Killing, House of Lies, I, Zombie, Scream, the TV series, which I know I brought up recently, but my God, it's so good. The Last Witch Hunter, Arrow, and 13 Reasons Why. Then we have Quinn, played by Christian James. Dollface, Free Fall, Exposed, James Blonde, which the title made me laugh. Nashville and Legal Action. Then Asher, played by Matt Mercutio, I cannot say that name. Sleepy Hollow, Nashville, Powers, Swamp Murders, Brockmire, Mr. Robot, The Haves and the Have-Nots, and of course The Walking Dead. Then Gavin, played by Robbie Atal. The Long Road Home, Red 11, The Haunting of Bly Manor, and Shadow Kingdom. And and then we have Tony Todd playing the Barker.
Who?
Exactly. I was going to say, we really don't need to list him. We've listed him multiple times, but He's the Candyman, bitch.
I hear you're looking for Candyman, bitch.
But for anyone who hasn't seen this, the basic plot is a masked serial killer turns a horror-themed amusement park into his own personal playground, terrorizing a group of friends, and while the rest of the patrons believe it's all part of the show. So he's chasing these poor kids down, and nobody realizes that they're actually in danger. Pretty freaky.
Are they virgins?
No, actually, they make a very explicit scene where Taylor mentions that there's a problem with that if they need a virgin.
Yeah.
But, so, while the opening credits roll, we hear teens talking about this creepy guy following them. One girl wants to leave wherever they are, and the others want to stay. And then we hear an announcer say, get your scares while you can. The Orange Grove County Fair Horror Night is coming to a close. So we realize they're at some kind of horror festival. Then we cut in on a zombie prop in a fun house. We see three girls heading into a haunted house. We get scenes of them getting scared between the rest of the opening credits. The one girl gets separated from her friends and wanders through a room while a strobe light and cloaked dummies are standing around the room. And there's a strobe light going. So she passes by the figures and the one turns its head and starts to follow her while humming Pop Goes the Weasel, which will continue to come up through the rest of the movie.
Pop Goes the Weasel!
Dead jeans! We are dead jeans! But the girl winds up in a dead end. She turns around to see the dude behind her, and at first she thinks it's another scare of the funhouse. He begins walking toward her, and she realizes that he's the one that's been following her all night. Continues to come closer, humming. She tells him that she's scared and to stop and just leave her alone. He suddenly stabs her in the gut, killing her, and drags her away while the credits continue to roll. We see her body drop down from the ceiling, hung amidst the other fake bodies decorating the funhouse. We get the smash title card where it just goes right above the screen, like, Hell House!
Hellfest!
Or Hellfest, yes. No, I said Hell House.
He stabbed her in the gut, yet there's very little blood.
Yeah.
Like, nothing dripping.
There's a few gut stabs with very little blood.
Yeah. So...
they had to cut back.
Limited budget. So, very little blood,
mm-hmm.
which would explain probably why they didn't find her until she started getting stanky.
Mm-hmm.
But if he really stabbed her in the gut, she really would have bled out a lot more.
Yep. But I will give it this. That was a great cold opening.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's a really good way to get you caught up to speed of, okay, this is what this is about. You know, here it's happened once before. You know, so though, now we know some time has passed. We cut in on Natalie arriving at her friend's house. It's Brooke, is her friend.
Oh, also, they make a point to show Chekhov's steel-toed boots that are scuffed up.
You're right. I forgot that in the cold opening. Yes, we see the guy's his scuffed up boots. Which they're going to cut in on a little later.
And that's the second song off of our new EP.
Scuffed Up Boots? Off of Dead Jeans.
Self-titled EP.
Yes. Oh, Lord.
No, it'll be called Prostate Exam.
That's going to be the title track. Oh, man. So Natalie goes up to Brooke's house, you know, the two hug and get all excited about she's, you know, Natalie's home again. And we see that Taylor is Brooke's roommate and Natalie is not very happy to see her. So we find out a little bit that they did not get along in school. Natalie couldn't stand her. Taylor couldn't stand Natalie. You know, drama.
So does Brooke own that house? Does she rent the house? Does she rent like a lower apartment of a house? Are the parents just not there?
Yeah. Yes to all of that.
Okay.
We get this little embarrassing conversation where Taylor tells Natalie that she needs to get laid and that Gavin will be joining them tonight, so maybe she can finally ride the D like she's always wanted. It's like, Brooke told me how you wanted to ride that D. So Nat looks at Brooke very annoyed. We cut to Nat and Brooke talking in Brooke's bedroom where Natalie tells her about... Brooke tells Natalie about Hellfest, which is a traveling horror night kind of thing. Brooke tells her how Gavin is the one that got them VIP passes, even though the thing sold out in seconds. She goes on to tell her how Gavin has been asking about her and was hoping she could join them. And, of course, this sparks Natalie's interest. And, I love this because...
And he said, do you think she'll sit on my face?
Yes! And Natalie's like, he didn't say that.
Did he?
That cracked me up. So, Brooke tells Natalie that she needs to change, and Natalie asks her what's wrong with what she's wearing. And Brooke tells her it's Halloween. It's the one night a year where you can let out your inner slut. And anytime anyone brings this up in a movie, all I can picture, and I don't know if it was Family Guy, there was some cartoon that did a skit where they were like, sexy nurse, sexy Abraham Lincoln, sexy Ninja Turtle.
I think it was Family Guy.
That's always like sexy Abraham Lincoln. It was like some of those...
sexy car battery.
Some of the sexy costumes are like, what the fuck are they thinking?
Sexy amoeba.
I do like the unlicensed movie costumes. Like, there was a... was it Juice Demon instead of Beetlejuice?
Yes.
And Midweek Cutie instead of Wednesday Addams?
Yeah.
But... so Quinn pops up and tells them they need to get going. They need to meet Gavin for Hellfest. Brooke tells him to go away, that they need 10 minutes. Now we cut to the group walking up to Hellfest. Quinn tells him that not to worry, he'll protect them from being murdered. Natalie laughs and tells him, I didn't realize that was a possibility. Quinn jokingly says that it happens all the time, and Taylor pipes up telling him not to be so flippant that it did actually happen, like in Orange Grove. Taylor and Quinn explain the opening murder to Natalie and Brooke, and go on to say that she was left in a funhouse for 3 days. Everyone thought she was a prop until she started to stink. So the group head inside and meet Gavin and Asher. Gavin gives them their VIP bracelets, and there's awkward flirting between Natalie and Gavin.
So when it started to stink,
mm-hmm.
at first did they think, like, maybe someone was cutting cheese as they were walking by?
A hobo done took a dump in here.
Or did they think maybe someone had really poor hygiene, or... like, they were rotting from the inside, like, rotting vagina, rotting anus.
I mean, let's be fair. We've all been to many a haunted house when it was a very busy night. And there's definitely a funk.
Mm-hmm. Especially if you have cum stains on the back of your white shirt.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that poor girl.
Oh, you're never going to let me live that down.
Now, there's always...
I put it in the hamper.
There's always that mix of, like, the fake fog smell, gasoline from chainsaws, and then BO.
Mm-hmm.
And toots.
Mm-hmm.
And toots.
Some people might even poop themselves.
I'm pretty sure some do.
Mm-hmm.
They smear it on themselves so the monsters won't touch them. Like, I heard that this works. Don't touch me. I got poo on me.
Sweet.
let me spackle it on myself. But, so now we get a montage of the group running around Hellfest. Lots of monsters, chainsaws, glow sticks, and techno.
Hooray. Do you guys want shots? And they're literally in syringes, which is actually a pretty cool concept.
Yeah, that really is a cool idea. And we see Taylor runs up to Natalie and Gavin and tells them that fear is an aphrodisiac. That it unlocks something special in your lizard brains and reminds us that life is short and the only purpose here is to reproduce. She winks and then gives him the finger guns and leaves.
Doesn't she say something like, I'm going to let you two think about that?
Yeah, she's like...
yeah.
And they discuss how long it's been since they were able to hang out, and suddenly, chainsaw jump scare. Because we have to have those in a haunted house movie. So, their friends run up and tell them that it's time for shots, and this is when they go head off to drink, and they drink the shots out of syringes. Which is just pretty damn cool. Now we cut to a random dude. Random dude in a hoodie. This is Hoodie Dude. Or the other. Approaching the security gate. He sets off the metal detector and guard goes over him with the wand and finds out that it's his steel-toed boots. So we focus in again on the scuffed up steel-toed boots from the opening. So they let the man go in. We cut to the group drinking and plotting out their evening on what mazes they're going to head up. We find out that there's a maze called the Deadlands where the actors can actually touch you, and it's the only way to get to hell, which is the scariest maze in the park.
Honk, honk. They're actually honking at each other's boobies.
Yep. And they all wait expectantly for Natalie to agree, and she finally shakes her head like, okay, yeah, okay, I'll go, and they all cheer. So we see Hoodie Dude wandering through the park looking at different people. He sees a monster jump out at a girl... who's kind of just standing in line, and she gets all pissed off going, oh my god, dude, you don't scare me. Go back with the other freaks.
He already put the mask on, though.
No, this is where he got right here. He calmly takes a mask out from his hoodie, right. And then puts it on and pulls his hood up. So it was like he was scanning the crowd looking for a victim. And then when he sees the chick that was like not going to play along, He's like, all right, fine. You want, you're not scared? Let me scare you.
Mm-hmm.
And his mask looks like a buttery old meat sack. Nut sack. Buttery
a
old
meat sack.
A buttery like, old nut sack.
Looks like a burnt chestnut.
Burnt chestnut, or burnt Chet's nuts.
A buttery old chestnut.
A burnt pepper.
Now we're just getting too wordy. It's a buttery nut sack.
Buttery nut sack.
An old... O-B-N. It's an O-B-N.
An old buttery nut
sack. An O-B-N.
An O-B-N. Oh, Lord.
Buttery nut sack. Amen.
Anyways.
So, he walks toward the girl who is now... she's now complaining how she wants to go home. He bumps into her. She gets all pissed off and goes, what is up with all these assholes? You think you're scaring me? Ooh, you're so scary. No, move.
So. She's a fucking bitch.
Mm-hmm.
A real fucking bitch.
Which is why he targets her.
I got something to say about her a little later on, but we'll wait for that.
So her and her friend continue walking. He turns, watches them, and we get a look at his nutsack mask, finally.
Buttery nutsack
mask. His buttery nutsack mask. And he begins following them. So now we see a snow cone booth where a guy is chipping away at some ice with a serrated knife. I'm like, I don't think that's how they do it at fairs like that, where they just...
Not anymore.
Stab at a block of ice.
Now they have machines that
right.
shave the ice for you. So, but, you know, plot.
Right. So I love how the dude is just so enamored with the girl that's ordering a snow cone that he's just not even noticing where he places his knife. Because he sets the knife down and Hoodie Dude walks up and grabs it.
Hmm.
And just keeps on moving.
Can we just call him Butternut?
Butternut keeps on moving. So we cut to the group being chased by clowns. Natalie and Brooke are getting scared while the rest are laughing. Gavin tells Natalie that she has to play it cool because the more she acts scared, the more they'll come after her. Suddenly a demon clown jumps out and scares the shit out of Gavin. Natalie mocks him about needing to play it cool, and he's like, hey, I have a very specific fear of demon clowns. So that was totally legit.
They're all in college, but the two of them act like they're freshmen in high school, like mm-hmm. with their first crush. It's just very juvenile.
Oh, big time.
Like, did we miss the part where Gavin's like, I think that they're insinuating, or something like, they're insinuating that we're going to hook up, and she's like, I didn't get that. He's like, oh, no, it's subtle.
I think that's coming up.
Okay.
Yeah. Because they keep, the group keeps trying to get him to fuck.
Yeah.
Throughout the movie. But they head to their first haunted house, which is Deform School. Where Taylor and Asher give a corpse a boner.
I love that, because it looks like the corpse, like, peed its pants, but it had, like, some kind of horrible infection.
Yes.
Because its jeans are stained yellow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely died with an infection.
And then they pitch him a little tent, and then Taylor sees a zombie jock and hits on him.
Yeah, and I gotta say the same. I also, as you know, hit on the zombie females.
This is true. Maurice asked them what they're doing later.
Yeah. And
but did you have a Transformer? Did you have an Optimus Prime with you?
In my pocket.
In my pants. So that's pocket. What you call him. Optimus Prime.
Transform and roll out.
Oh, Lord.
I have gotten a couple of great character, though.
What's that?
I have gotten a couple of great character.
This is true, you have. Oh, man. So, they head down a crowded hallway where Natalie comments that one of the figures in the hallway has to be real. Gavin tells her to look at the hand, saying that's how you can tell. They focus on a hand that's clearly a mannequin, and they focus on another one, and they see that it twitches. So Gavin calls the person out, saying, ah, we see you, you're not going to scare us. And then they just turn around and wait for Taylor and the others to come along. Taylor isn't paying any attention whatsoever, and the person jumps out and scares the shit out of her.
Hmm.
So now we get a montage of them running through the rest of the haunt, having fun, scaring each other. The girls split up from the boys and wander through the halls. Natalie begins pointing out where other people will jump out before they jump out, kind of ruining the scare for Taylor. She predicts someone will jump out of this one door, but no one does. Suddenly a girl comes running out of a different door, with the hoodie guy following her.
Oh, who is this girl?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It's the bitch girl from earlier. So they assume it's all part of the haunt. And they joke about how Butternut has wonky eyes.
Yep.
Taylor's like, he's got the wonky eyes. And she's pointing at his face. And Natalie takes a step toward the dude and he gets in her face. She laughs and tells him he's not scary. He refuses to move. She tells him to get back on script and points to where the girl went and hid.
In the arrow. She went behind the arrow curtain.
Yep. Like, victim here.
You just killed that woman.
Yep. So now, Hoodie Guy, or Butternut, you have to remember that, Butternut goes running over, drags the girl out, and stares at the other girls while the girl begs them to help, begs Taylor, Brooke, and Natalie to help her. Taylor and Brooke are like, this is a little too real, and they take off. Natalie continues to watch. She kind of laughs it out. The dude raises his knife. She smiles at him and tells him, just do it. And then he goes ahead and stabs the girl in the chest, killing her.
We find out that her name is Brittany. Ah. So right after, if you have the subtitles on, you hear him. It's the only time that Butternut talks in the movie. Uh-huh. He whispers, I killed Brittany, bitch.
But, so she's looking at the guy, realizing, like, this is a little too real. You know, something's wrong. And she realizes it may not be part of the haunt. Dude stands up, blood dripping from the knife. She leaves. She runs into Brooke and Taylor outside and tells them how it got way too real at the end. Taylor offers her some booze and says this place is intense.
But when she runs outside, doesn't she see, like, another actor's...
Not yet.
Okay.
That's coming
There's out. So much action going on because yep. it moves at such a fast clip.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about the stabbing thing, right?
Yes, where the guy stabs the girl, but it's a fake knife.
It comes right after this. She's drinking the alcohol, and they're talking about how intense it is, and then that's when the dude runs up and stabs the girl, and they laugh, realizing, oh, okay, maybe this is part of the haunt. But then Natalie turns around, and old Butternut is standing behind him, watching them. And then he holds his finger up to his mouth like, shh. So that was creepy. I'll give him that. Like, that actually gave me the creeps. So...
His mask kind of reminded me of the mask. Did you see the movie Hush?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Like, if you put that mask in the microwave with some some butter and made it look like a butter.
So if Paula Deen was making a...
Yes!
Making a Halloween costume.
Out of a man's nutsack.
Oh, God. So Taylor teases Natalie about making a new friend. And Natalie fires back at her. I forget what she said to her, but she said something. And Taylor's like, oh, I'm starting to take a shine to you. I like... What did she call it? She was calling her grade school.
I like post-grade school.
Something like that.
Something like that.
Basically, Taylor likes the fact that Natalie is not just taking it, you know?
Yeah.
She's fighting back.
I don't like you.
So they meet up with the others and continue on toward the haunts.
Or is it because she's having some booze, so she's kind of getting a little loosey-goosey?
She's getting loosey. Mm. So Natalie notices the dude is still following them and watching them. You know, she calls out to the others and waves at them, telling, like, there's that same guy from the last haunt. And they tell her that he gets paid minimum wage to follow them, like, this is part of his job. She tells him that he's only following them, and it's a wee bit stalkerish. So we pan in on Butternut, and he's humming Pop Goes the Weasel. So just in case you hadn't put it together yet, it's the dude from the beginning. So even though he's wearing a different mask. Because his original mask looked like something out of The Purge. This one
is
a buttery nutsack. Which
wasn't the original one like a pig or something?
No, it was like a smiling face or something like that. He has a pig mask in the locker.
Yeah.
We see that.
In his souvenir.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we get a montage of the group playing carnival games and winning plushy prizes, all except for Gavin, who can't win shit. And the dude keeps making fun of him. The
He's
carny.
Like, this is really pathetic.
He's like, this is painful, bro. This is painful, bro.
So... Then we cut to Natalie and Gavin walking away, and he buys her a pretzel.
And she's eating it like a 15-year-old on her first date would. Like,
little dainty.
This is really good, but I like mustard. Oh, you're a mustard girl, huh?
It's not salty enough. How about I add some salt to it?
That's what
Autobots roll out!
Roll out!
So Butternut is a Decepticon, then.
Oh,
so
God.
He's cock-blocking left him. He
he's
does the
cock-blocking Optimus.
He definitely rolls out with a big old cock-block.
That he does. I'm not going to be able to watch Transformers the same way ever again.
Nope.
So the two walk along. We get a bunch of I like cheese dialogue here.
And then she throws the fucking pretzel out.
Yeah, he's like,
that wasn't salty enough.
He's like, that was a perfectly good pretzel. He got pissed off that she wasted his $5.
AKA, he would have eaten it.
Right.
Well, he wanted a bite, and she's like, yeah, you can have a bite. And she, like, picks off the tiniest little crumb like they're fucking Hansel and Gretel.
Oh, she sucks.
She has a lot going on.
Yeah, that we don't know about.
Right.
So they end up running up to a photo booth, and we see Butternut watching them from a distance. In the photo booth, they make silly faces and laugh at each other, and eventually
make a drunk face. What's a drunk face look like?
First she says, smile like an idiot. Not that you're an idiot.
Yeah, the make a drunk face. And
yeah.
He's like, what's that look like? I don't know, I'm a stoic drunk. So then they like sit there and
just stare at the
look
camera.
Look like glamour shots.
It reminded me of like American Gothic. They were just eyes wide.
Yeah, they needed a pitchfork.
So, and eventually they end up making out in there while the photos continue to snap.
And Butterface?
Butternut.
Butternut makes his way
over and steals the pictures.
Yep, but Brooke notices and calls him out.
She's like, hey.
Hey, yo.
Yo, what are you doing? I love this though, because he walks away. She's like, oh no, bitch, you didn't. She takes her cat ears off.
Yes.
Gives them to her boyfriend. She's like, I'm about to throw the fuck down.
It's the Halloween equivalent of taking off your earrings.
Yep. She's like, oh no. She takes her cat ears off. She's like, I'm going to throw down now. She follows him yelling, but she backs down real quick.
Yeah, as soon as she hears Pop Goes the Weasel.
Yep.
He's going to pop that weasel.
Again, Autobots roll out.
No, not in this case.
But yeah, she chases after him while the others grill Gavin and Nat to see what they were doing in there. Like, what are you doing? And so Brooke turns.
I'll never tell.
We want your enemy.
So Brooke turns down an empty section looking for Butternut. And she can't find him, but he's humming loud enough for her to hear. So she hears the Pop Goes the Weasel, and then she hears like metal scraping.
And turns around in the.
And then there's...
Jump scare of Gavin.
Yep, Quinn.
Quinn
jump scare.
Wait,
yep.
Quinn or Asher? Wait.
Quinn was her boyfriend.
Asher's the other one.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, Asher was Taylor's boyfriend.
Yeah.
And Quinn's like, what's going on? She's like, nothing. I scared him away.
And he goes, when did you become a tough guy? Then they leave. So
she's like, give me back my ears.
And they meet up with the others and get ready to go to the Deadlands. And, you know, Natalie's like, did you get back my pictures? And she's like, no, you know, but he's gone. So, they go to head off to the Deadlands, but Gavin tells him he'll catch up with them, that he has something to do.
And we get our first red herring.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But he quietly tells, was it Quinn? Yeah, he quietly tells Quinn, he's like, I'm going to go win her one of those toys. You know, because he sucked in the game. So
but they want you to think that he's the killer.
I didn't think that would that's what they were going for.
Yeah. I mean... I have no idea.
I think they're throwing a red herring out there to make you think.
I thought they were just setting him up to be the first one to be killed. Because he's getting separated from
the
first.
No, he couldn't have been the red herring because he was in the photo booth making out while Butternut was watching.
Well, that's true, too.
Yeah, so as the audience, we would know.
Yeah.
And Brooke saw Butternut take the photos.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
She took her cat ears off and was like, oh, these are my revenge nails.
Fuck you, Butternut.
And now we're talking about pooping.
Scratch your nutsack face off even more.
So Gavin heads back over to the games and talks to the dude at the ring toss who's like, man, I spent like $50 here. Can you just give me one of those stuffed animals?
Oh, he's like, no, I lose my job.
He thought about it at least. And he's like, fuck you.
Yeah. So back in line, Natalie and Brooke are talking, and Brooke tells her not to worry about Gavin, that he probably had to take a poop.
Right.
And she's like, ew.
She's like, oh, we all poop.
She's like, everybody poops, Nat.
Bees poop. Flies poop.
Honey badgers poop.
When she goes, bees poop. Honey, that's where honey comes from. I'm like, no, right. That's bee vomit. But Natalie asks her what happened with the guy that took her photos, and she's honest with her and tells her it got too intense, so she bailed. Then we cut to Gavin heading back toward the Deadlands, and he sees a dude coming out of a room carrying a buttload of stuffed animals, telling another carny that they're good on prizes, that they have a ton of stock left.
Where's the guy? I always think that the guy's, like, in the stockroom thing, like, the barn.
Yeah.
But then when Gavin goes in there, there's nobody around.
Yeah, he just walks right in. Yeah, because Gavin looks around and sneaks into the stock area. Mm-hmm. And then back in line, Natalie asks what they're waiting for, or why they're waiting in line for a ride when they're only doing mazes. And Asher tells her that this ride takes them to the Deadlands. It's the only way to get there. So the group has to sign a waiver here.
Waiver? Yeah, a waiver, because they can touch you and my ability's a bitch.
Yep. So Natalie seems a wee bit apprehensive about doing this one, but they convince her and she joins in and signs it.
Where's Gavin?
Yeah. Well, the thing, they're like, oh, he'll catch up, he'll catch up. Then we cut back to Gavin in the little prize area looking for the prizes. He messes around with Chekhov's hammer, which I love it because they show you just how weak this dude is.
Like, yeah, he tries to pick it up and you think it's Mjolnir.
Right. He's like, oh, like he can't even lift it off the ground.
Or as my niece Ella and I call it, Mjolnir.
Mjolnir?
Mjolnir. Mjolnir.
Is that the old cake commercial?
It's Thor's Mjolnir.
Mjolnir, 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 Mjolnir.
Last week it was Filet-O Fish, now it's Meow Mix.
Yeah. Give me back that Filet-O-Fish.
We're going to get sponsors. You just...
Dude, I just got to say, if you guys haven't listened to the House episode, you have to listen to it. I cannot watch that movie now and not think that.
About the Filet-O Fish?
Yes. It's just burned into my memory. Oh,
like
my God.
Like a hobo's asshole.
Yes, indeed. So, Asher texts Gavin, and he tells him he's got to get back in line. He tells him to be back soon. He continues looking around, finds the closet with the plushies in it, and he, you know, picks out the one he wants. And we see Butternut walking in behind him. So Gavin picks his toy out, closes the prize closet, and gets scared by Butternut standing there. Gavin jumps back and tells him, he's like, wait, you're the guy that took our pictures. Like, I want my pictures back.
But he's not concerned that he's stealing merchandise
right
from the fucking carnival.
It's an even trade. Let me keep your pictures, you keep the stuffed animal.
He's like, I paid $50 for it. But yeah, so he, you know, basically Butternut doesn't respond at all and just stares at him. Gavin tells him you take your job way too seriously and attempts to leave. Butternut then blocks his path with the hammer, showing how much stronger he is than Gavin by holding it out with one hand. And Gavin shrugs it off and walks around him. Butternut trips him and then bashes him in the throat with the handle of the hammer, causing him to gasp and sputter.
That hurt my throat.
He crushed his windpipe
with
one fell swoop.
Yeah, you know? that was kind of creepy.
And then he crushed his head with a second fell swoop.
No, because he hits him in the throat again.
Well, he kind of hit him in the shoulder. Yeah. Well, because this is the part that I thought was a little much. This happens in the middle of the room.
Mm-hmm.
The test your strength game is like kind of over in the corner. So Gavin just happens to be crawling backward toward the test your strength game. And freaking Butternut is like, yeah, yeah, like corralling him toward it. Mm-hmm. And then for whatever reason, Gavin decides to rest his head on it. Like, this is a little too much.
Oh, he gave up.
Yeah.
He knew he was going to die. Like, he was gasping for breath.
Right.
Wishing that he had stuck it in Natalie in the photo booth.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe got a little reach around, a little.
He put his head down because he's like, look, he crushed my windpipe. I'm not going to get laid.
Just can't sit on my face now.
Right.
Because I can't breathe, so I'm not going to be able to breathe with her cooter on top of me.
Exactly. Just kill me now.
So, well, and he does. He raises the hammer and splat.
That's the best death scene in the movie.
Agreed.
In my opinion.
His head goes splody.
It does go splody.
So we cut to the others getting on the ride to the Deadlands. Natalie texts Gavin to find out where he is, and we cut to Butternut hearing Gavin's phone go off.
Knowing, for some reason, that it's his thumb that unlocks the screen.
Well, keep in mind, every phone in a movie is an iPhone. Like, because Apple basically doesn't want any kind of royalties, so that's why every film uses it.
I don't know anything about Apple. You gotta use your thumb for Apple?
Yes. And that,
no,
and,
it's face recognition.
In that era, in 2018, it was face recognition, or it was thumb recognition. Because the modern stuff is face recognition.
Right, but, he uses Gavin's thumb to unlock it, and then he went into settings and probably set a passcode.
Right.
But to reset a passcode, you have to enter the first passcode.
Ah, movie's got a movie.
Movie's got a movie. And here's my other critical observation.
What's that?
So, he's not wearing gloves. They're not going to take fingerprints off of...
Not when you don't
this
find...
This is true.
Spoiler alert.
Did he burn his fingerprints off like John Doe in Seven?
Maybe.
Now I'm just overthinking things.
Really overthinking.
So, Butternut hears the phone goes off, or phone go off, pulls it out of his pocket, like we said, uses Gavin's thumb to unlock it, and I even wrote in here, good thing it wasn't facial recognition, because, you know, Gavin didn't have a face anymore.
He right. had to put it back together.
Yeah. It's like, oh, shit.
Anyone got duct tape?
How does this piece together again? Now I'm picturing the face and Hellraiser that they're piecing together.
Oh.
But then he texts Natalie back, I have a surprise for you. Then Asher and Taylor get in the cart and head off. Brooke and Quinn get in another cart, leaving Natalie to ride alone. So she gets in the cart to the Deadlands, and we get this montage of everyone on the ride getting scared, making out
like they're 12-year-olds. 16-year-olds.
Also, it kind of reminded me of...
Now the kids are 12 making out.
I mean, yeah. It kind of reminded me of... The murder ride. Sorry, I had to reboot for a second.
Oh, I thought you were just trying to be like Butthead.
No, I just had to reboot for a second. It kind of reminded me of the murder ride.
Yeah, I could see that. So
now this part, if this happened to me,
oh, I'd freak the fuck out.
I would have been pissing and shitting my pants.
I would have made the poo-poos and the pee-pees.
Yep.
Because Natalie's cart stalls out, and she's left alone. Suddenly the lights go out, and she's like, are you shitting me?
Like, hello?
Then she does Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Yeah, she does this. Yep. Because the red lights come on, and she's like, trying to see her.
Because she sees, like, come on, like, you don't fucking know what that is standing right over there.
You know it's fucking nut butter.
Nut butter! Nut butter. Oh, Lord. I'm just picturing this being sold at Trader Joe's.
Get your nut butter.
All natural nut butter.
Not with that mask on the cover. Maybe at Halloween.
Oh, Lord Almighty.
Ooh. So the ride just stops. The red light comes on. And you hear the announcer. We get the Jennifer Love Hewitt moment.
Yep. And then the announcer says that they're experiencing technical difficulties and to remain calm while they fix it. So Natalie calls out. We see a guy watching her. She's like, hey, how long is this going to take? He says nothing and begins to slowly approach her. And we see that it's Butternut. She starts to freak out, trying to get out of the cart. Now, I got a problem here. She was able to move that bar up like a solid 6 inches.
And she was clearly a size, like, maybe 2.
Right.
You mean to tell me she couldn't have, like,
turned sideways?
Shimmied her legs around and, like...
Or hell, even just ducked. There was so much leg room.
Right.
She could have went under that bar. I'm like, now my fat ass would have been stuck. I would have been like, oh, damn it.
Just take me now, Butternut.
This is how I die. Killed by Butternut at a carnival. I didn't see that one coming. Oh my god. So she starts screaming for help and yelling for security. Then we see Taylor and Asher getting off the ride.
Who are you? What do you want? Security!
Nut butter's coming after me.
I have enough allergy.
Oh, God. Oh, we're going off the rails with this one.
So then we see Taylor and
Asher.
Okay. And I was going to call him Quasher. And then Ian, I can't keep them straight. So Taylor and her fodder, and Brooke and her fodder get off the ride, and they're like, where is Natalie? And then all of a sudden you see her coming out with Butternut sitting on the front of her car.
He's perched like a little parakeet.
He looks like a freaking
staring bird. At her. And she's just like, ooh.
Well, she was covering her face. Like she was looking away like, if I don't look at you, you're not there.
If I can't see you, you're not there.
Oh my god.
If a tree falls in the woods and nobody hears it.
Did Butternut chop it down?
He sure yes. did.
But, so, the group looks horrified, and just then, several other people dressed like Butternut pop out, and the announcer tells them, "Welcome to the Deadlands," and then the other will guide them from there. And so
oh, I thought it was the new Eminem video.
It's all the hoodies, all the hooded Butternuts. But, and this is when Quinn and Asher...
Does that mean they're not circumcised?
Probably not.
Okay.
They got a little Famunda as well. Because
they have the hoods.
Yes, yes. Famunda. What was I going to say? Yeah, so they, the Quinn and Asher freak out, telling them, like, oh my god, this is awesome. It's all part of the ride. They pretend that, like, how did they figure this out? Like, they had no idea what was going on, and then suddenly when they realized it's right, they're like, oh, it's all part of the ride. If somebody goes by themselves, they fake the breakdown, and then they have someone ride with them. It's like, who told you all this? How did you get this information?
He guessed.
Yeah, that's a long guess.
Smart jock is smart.
But, so they head off into the Deadlands, and Natalie tells them she wants to wait for Gavin. Asher tells him that he didn't want to ruin her surprise, but Gavin's trying to win her a stuffed animal because he likes her, but he sucks, so it's going to be a while.
And then Brooke Tinney smacks him.
Pretty much. And the group convince her to move on, and that Gavin will catch up when he catches up. So we get the, they have to go up to this corpse, and there's a big arrow saying, maps here, and we see a hole in the corpse's chest. This was actually pretty cool.
It was.
And they have to, like, reach in through the corpse to get a map, and of course, it's actually some dude, like, you know, probably behind a curtain, mm-hmm. but jumps out and grabs them, you know, scares the show.
And it's Asher that sticks his hands in there?
Yeah, he's the one that fists the belly.
Yep. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Look how deep I'm in.
No, he was like...
He went elbow deep.
Sure did.
But, so then some random dude runs up and carries Taylor off.
Oh, I love this part. She's like, put me down! They're like, Taylor!
And Asher goes, I'm gonna need her back, dude.
So they go running after her, and then she, they find, like, he puts her down, and she comes running back, and she's like, dude, that guy smelled like a hobo's asshole. And I wrote down, Brooke and the hobo's asshole.
But I love it, because Brooke goes...
How do you know what a hobo's asshole smells like?
And then she goes, because it smells like Quinn's mom. Oh my god.
Brooke and the Hobo's Asshole is the third track on Dad Jeans.
Yes.
EP.
Oh. So then we get creepy ragdoll people come up and take him by the hands and lead him into the Deadlands.
That's kind of, I thought they were kind of cute. They kind of reminded me of Sam.
Yeah, I was just going to say, yeah, they had a very Sam vibe to them. But there's a lot of people dressed like the killer in this section. So, but we see one that is most definitely Butternut watching them. So, they end up at the first maze of the haunt, and there's three doors. One says sleep like a baby, one says very bad dreams, and one says your worst nightmare. The guys rush off into your worst nightmare, while the gals run into sleep like a baby. We see a montage of each of the haunts. You know, the guys get flashlights and look around what looks like a crypt. Meanwhile, the girls have some kind of Dr. Satan hospital room where a dude chases them with a cleaver and a drill. And then we see Butternut sneaking into the haunt behind them. He hears the girls and goes looking for him. Now, this is intercut with the girls getting scared in the haunt, so it's like it's a constant montage of like him searching, we're getting to see bits of the haunt.
Which, the haunts are pretty cool.
Yeah, no, they're definitely cool. I love the truck scene with Quinn and Asher, where they're like walking down the hallway and then the big truck headlights turn on. Mm-hmm. There was, in Canada... Screamers.
Yes, I remember.
That was freaking cool. Yeah. They had that attraction.
Only it came down from the ceiling.
No.
This one actually came right out down
the hall.
Yeah, sure yes, did. I remember that.
Because Nightmares had the one where you're in this tight hallway, and it just turns on its lights and honks.
Yes.
And then you jump. But Screamers, it waited until you're about halfway down the hallway, and then you hear it behind you. You hear the honk, the lights turn on, and it moves about halfway down the hall on track, but it looks like this truck is coming at you. And that, the first time I saw that, it scared the shit out of me.
I'm too young to die.
I don't want to get run over in a haunted house. But we see here where the killer is looking around the haunt. He finds in one of the back rooms a syringe. And I'm like, oh, I'm sure that's going to come into play in a bit.
A real syringe.
Mm-hmm.
So later we find out that the killer conveniently can find real weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the girls
can
only find sticks.
Mm-hmm. I have a note about that exact thing. That drove me nuts in the final act. But they go down the hand hallway where we see all the hands hanging out of like cages and doors and all that. And as they're walking down the hall, like the hallway is getting more and more narrow.
And of course, me as a big girl, I'm like, oh.
I didn't like any part of that.
Nope.
Well, we're going to have to talk about this when we eventually talk about our experiences in haunted houses. But I'm sure you'll remember we're going years back, when Haunted Catacombs and House of Horrors first combined. And they had the two little houses, and then they had the two big ones.
Mm-hmm.
And the little houses changed every year. It was like, the one year it was called Pitch Black, and it was just, you know, dark hallways with floodlights that would turn on occasionally. And then one was like spooky clowns and stuff like that. But the Pitch Black one, that was not made for large people.
No, those corridors were small.
Well, because I was doing the sideways fat guy shimmy where I was just eking down the hallway. Just like, suck it in. I felt like Winnie the Pooh.
I thought you were going to talk about the inflatable vagina that we had to walk through. I am being birthed.
Those are in like every haunted house now.
Oh, and those are so gross. Like, you think about COVID now, like all the germs. Think about all the stank people that went through there.
And see, and this is why I do the same thing every year. First of all, I have a hoodie on every time I go to a haunted house now. I put the hoodie up, and I put my arms in front of my face and use that to, like, keep the thing off of my head.
You don't want the vagina all over you.
No. No, you don't want it squeezing your face. At least the haunted house vagina. But, so they go down the hand hallway. Taylor and Brooke get spooked, and they go running. Natalie tries to catch up. There's two hallways. Brooke and Taylor go down one hall.
The door shuts.
Yeah, and then the other hallway opens, and Natalie runs down that one. So Natalie finds herself trapped in a room with body parts and bones, and the announcer is saying, leave no bone unturned when looking for a way out. So suddenly a glass panel behind her lights up, and we see the killer standing on the other side watching her. She turns and sees Butternut. He begins pounding on the glass, scaring the shit out of her. She panics, trying to escape the room. A buzzer sounds, letting her out, and then Butternut just watches her go all sad, like, aw. He's, like, pawing at the glass.
He's like,
So Natalie meets up with the others and tries to tell them what happened. They tell her that there are a bunch of people dressed like that guy, and they assure her that it was just, you know, one of the actors.
And she's like, no, he was taunting me.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, that's what they're paid to do. So they tell her as soon as Asher gets out, they'll go someplace else.
Wait, did we miss the part where the two guys are in there and there's the woman that's supposedly dead of the overdose?
Oh yeah.
And Asher goes to grab the giant syringe and she jumps up and he jumps back and he goes, son of a bitch!
Yeah, scares the hell out of him. So now we cut inside the haunt and we see Asher is lost. He's wandering around yelling out for Quinn.
Is it Quinn?
And he's getting scared.
Quinn!
So then the killer pops out, scaring the shit out of him. And the killer knocks him to the ground, pulls out the syringe from before, and we get this horrific close-up of Asher getting a syringe to the eye.
Our first eye trauma in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the thing is, though, So you get the shot from above of the killer going toward his eye, and he's screaming. And then you get the side shot where you can already tell that the prosthetic is starting to, like, burst because it's already red. And then finally the needle goes through and the blood, and then he's just like, kuh-duh.
Well, because he jams it in. Like, he jams the entire handle into his eye socket.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh.
Bye, Asher.
Yep. So Asher is dead. See, now, that the needle to the eye thing, that's something in a lot of horror movies. The other one that always sticks out to me is Dead and Buried. there's the opening sequence where the guy is in the hospital and he's like in a full body cast. I think he was burned, if I'm remembering correctly. And the nurse comes in and she's like one of the bad guys and puts the syringe, like we get a slow close up of the syringe going into the eye. And then there's the Crow City of Angels, where they take the tattoo gun to the eye, the needle to the eye. Oh, it's fucking freaky. And by far the freakiest one for me is Dead Space 2, the video game. There's a scene where you have to, like, extract, like, brain fluid from yourself, and you have to control a syringe going into your own eye. And it's, like, this close-up of the character's eye, and you have to, like, line it up right. And, oh, it's fucking creepy. fuck that scene. But outside, a monster runs up to Natalie and the others, trying to scare them. Natalie is unamused and tells him to go away, so he horks up a giant slime goober on her.
Which is great.
Well, I love what Quinn says. He's like, you got brundle-flied. That's awesome. But Natalie and Brooke head to the bathroom to clean up, and we get a little bit of I like cheese dialogue.
We're gonna go to Spain!
We're gonna show our tits.
She's like, you're gonna show your tits.
Can we get tapas in Spain? Did you just say, can we go topless? If you want to, you can go topless.
We're gonna get topless. But yeah, like, this whole sequence is like, oh, Natalie has a dark past or something.
Right, and then they keep with the necklace, like the best friend's necklace, because they're 16.
Right. It's just, yeah, it's a bunch of random dialogue to fill time. But Brooke gets all excited and leaves Natalie to finish up cleaning. While Natalie is using the hand dryer that's really high up on the wall.
Yeah, right, why the fuck is it way up there? To dry
her hair, because she got a little brundle fly jizz in her hair that she just, like, took a small section of hair and just, like, finger washed.
Right.
But then she's, like, closing her eyes, and Butternut, like, just appeared.
Right. He walks in, he stands right next to her.
And he's like, I'm not touching you. Yes. And then she opens her eyes and he's gone.
Yep.
And then she's like, I might as well tinkle. Why is it that anytime somebody pee-pees in the potty in a horror movie, in any movie, it's always silent?
Yeah.
People do not tinkle quietly. There is a tinkle, tinkle, little pee.
Yep. But in horror movies, you never hear it.
And then she texts, what's his face? Smashy head.
Smashy head!
She's like, where are you? He's like, she goes,
are you getting close? And then, yeah, we hear the text chime in the bathroom. And she's like, what? But one thing we forgot to mention before she sits down in the stall, she checks one. It's like, this stall is too filthy. She checks another one. This one's too poopy. This one's just right. She has to find her perfect stall.
So were there three stalls or were there four?
I think there was, I think it was like four or five.
Okay.
Because they were on both sides of the wall.
Oh, that's right.
But, so she texts him, are you getting close? She hears a text chime in the bathroom and receives a text back saying yes.
He's
and
really smiles. Close.
Yeah, well, she texts, he goes, how close? And she hears a chime again right outside the door.
And she's like,
Well, and then we see the steel-toed boots underneath the bathroom door. I love it because he goes from 0 to 60. There's no fucks given at this point. He just starts rattling the door like crazy.
And then she's like, fuck this poopy floor. I'm getting the fuck out of here.
I thought about you from Scream, where it's like she gets down on the pizza floor.
Yep.
So she sneaks under the door, or under the stall, into the next stall, and just hides. And she's like, she's waiting and listening, and she hears his boots walking around. And then she's like, oh, like she's fine. And leans against the wall.
And then his hand comes over the stall and, like, grabs her hair.
Yes.
And she's like, fuck you!
She shakes her head free and runs away. And then we cut to her running to find Brooke, and then we smash cut to both of them in the bathroom with a security guard. Butternut is long gone, and the guard is telling him there's nothing he can do. They find the photos of Nat and Gavin laying on the floor, and Natalie realizes that it must have been Gavin's phone. The guard tells him that he thinks their friend is messing with him. And he goes on to say, you came here to be scared, right? I can't arrest people for doing their job. Welcome to Hellfest.
And he's like, bye.
So Brooke and Natalie run to Quinn and tell him that they have to go. They ask where Asher is, and he tells them he hasn't seen him. So they ask, where's Taylor? And he tells them she volunteered. Yep. So now we cut to the stage where we see Tony Todd being brought in on a throne.
He should.
Of course. Gives a big old theatrical speech about all the children of the night and how they need to spill blood, the blood of a virgin to unlock the gates of hell. Taylor comes out from behind the curtain and she's like, about the whole virgin thing, we may have a problem. So Taylor plays along and introduces herself to the crowd. Tony asks her, I'm just going to keep calling him Tony. Tony asks her what her crimes are, and she tells him, well, how much time do you have? Because I've done laps around the seven deadly sins. He tells her she must pay for her transgressions with her head. She plays along excitedly as an executioner comes out and they reveal a guillotine. So Natalie feels like something isn't right here and notices that the executioner has the same boots as the man who harassed her in the bathroom. So her and Brooke attempt to reach the stage to stop him. We get a slow-mo scene of security stopping Natalie and Brooke, and they're screaming for Taylor. The guillotine drops, chops Taylor's head off. The head rolls down, and we see it's clearly a dummy head. Tony Todd picks it up by the hair, brandishing at the crowd, and we see in the back Taylor is just fine and laughing at everything. So the curtains close, leaving her with the executioner.
Then the stagehand is like, are you good? Can you help her? Yeah. And he's like...
Slow nod. So Taylor is still bound to the guillotine, and she's asking the executioner to get her out. He unbuckles her, but then slides her forward, putting her head under the actual guillotine blade and locking her in place. So now she starts freaking out, saying, what are you doing? You know, he ignores her, straps her in even tighter. She's saying, you know, I can't move. What are you doing? Pulls off his executioner hood to reveal the butternut face. Taylor realizes it's the guy that's been fucking with them and starts screaming for help. We cut to Brooke, Quinn, and Natalie being harassed by the security guard from the bathroom.
We're going to call the police on you now.
And she's like, good, I want you to. So there. And they tell him basically about their missing friends, and he writes it off as they're probably drunk somewhere in the park. We see the killer backstage dropping the blade of the guillotine. It lands on Taylor, chopping just slightly into it. Yeah, exactly.
Knock her out for a few seconds.
Yeah, and leave a pretty good sized cut on the back of her neck. Oh, that's going to
require some stitches.
Yep.
If she makes it.
Well, we'll find out in a minute. But I love how the killer looks like a confused dog here. Because he looks at it like, oh shit, that didn't work. And he goes over and slowly picks up the blade like, huh?
And he like runs his finger across it like, what do you mean they don't have a real sharp blade?
Right. What kind of Hellfest is this?
I would like my money back.
So he starts, slowly raising the blade again. Taylor comes to, is able to get her hands free, and unbuckles herself and takes off. So, she gone.
Butternut chase gives chase.
Taylor goes running through the crowd, screaming for help. We see Butternut following her. Natalie and the others hear her screaming, run to help her, to help Taylor. And the guard calls in that they have a situation in the Deadlands and follows them. Butternut catches up to Taylor, slashes her in the face, and then stabs her in the gut in front of the crowd, who thinks it's all part of the fun. Quinn runs up, grabs Butternut, who turns and stabs the fuck out of him, killing Quinn.
Yep.
Then the crowd realizes, oh shit, this is real, and they scatter.
Yep. And then you hear, the park is closing. Please proceed to the nearest exit.
Brooke and Natalie see Quinn get murdered. Natalie has to drag Brooke away as Butternut sees them and follows. They were just calling him Butternut. the park's announcing that due to unforeseen circumstances, they're closing and to please proceed to the nearest exit. Natalie and Brooke run into what they think is an exit, but it's really the entrance to hell, the scariest maze. How the fuck do you think that was an exit? Like, how? How could you? Let's go up the stairs past the line and go into the giant devil mouth. That looks like an exit. Oh, Lord.
They're not thinking clearly.
Clearly not. But the killer follows them inside, and, they're inside hiding. Killer follows them inside and finds an actual axe and not a prop one.
Right.
Yeah. And then he closes and locks the entrance and chops the handle off so they can't even open the door, trapping the girls inside.
Here's a good question. So they're clearing out the park of the guests, but where the fuck are all the actors?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I was like, I didn't write this down, but I was wondering through the entire movie. I'm like, so did only the one haunt have actors? Because we only saw that in the Academy one. What was it?
Dead.
The Dead.
Deformed School.
Deformed School, thank you. That's the only one where we actually saw actors. Everywhere else, it was just animatronics popping out at them.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like...
Well, except the hands.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good point.
And then, yeah, the hands.
Oh, and the one actress that was... never mind. I was going to say, but it's really just hell that has no actors in it.
Right.
The scariest one.
Which would be the best place to have real actors.
Right, especially because you had to sign a waiver for them to be able to touch you, so, you know...
I think the actors are just like, fuck this noise.
There's a killer on the loose, I'm out.
$7.25 an hour.
Exactly.
So, where are all the actors, I say?
Right. So we see Brooke and Natalie running through the maze, setting off every scare in every room, until Natalie points out the laser triggers that, you know...
Freaking lasers.
The laser beams that trigger the scares. So she's telling Brooke to avoid them so they can stop making noise. They make their way into a closet and hide.
Trapped in a closet.
With a killer on the loose. So, we see the killer walk by humming. They wait for him to trigger the next room. We hear him triggering the rooms as he goes. So they sneak out of their hiding spot, careful not to trigger any more rooms, and make their way back to the front door.
Where Brooke loses her shit.
Yep, because she realizes, oh fuck, we're trapped. So... Natalie tries to calm her down, telling her we can do this, and they begin their descent into hell. Mm.
Dun, dun, some dun. Of these rooms were really fucking creepy, like the doll room.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I love the one room.
With just the masks?
Yes.
That's oh, no, I wrote cool. that too. Creepy as fuck.
So they try to find weapons, but they're all fake, except for the axe at the beginning of the maze.
Right.
I was like, that's convenient. So they grab some prop torches to use as clubs.
Sticks.
It's like the, you see the, what are the torch brackets? I forget what those are called.
I forget what they're called too.
But like you see a bunch of them kind of like stuffed in the one bracket and they grab the torches as clubs. So then they pass the closet again and realize that it's closed now even though they left it open. So there's a good chance that Butternut is somewhere around. And so... they make their way through the creepy doll room nearby, oof. Where they find where we see the killer is hiding amongst the props. He pops out, slashes Brooke's leg with the axe. Natalie bashes him in the face with the torch, knocking him to the ground, and helps Brooke leave the room.
Why didn't she grab the fucking axe?
Exactly. It doesn't make any damn sense. So the two hobble their way through the maze to a room filled with black-robed figures with white masks. Brooke panics, looking around, saying they're in a dead end. Cut to the killer making his way down the hall toward them. He enters the room with the cloaked figures and looks around. We see a close-up of one of the figures, and we see Natalie's eyes in the mask. The killer finds the door and opens it. The announcer says, clever, clever, you found the hidden path to hell. So he realizes, I didn't hear this. They're still in this room.
Mm-hmm.
So he starts looking around. He picks one of the figures that he thinks is one of the girls... and slashes the axe into him, getting his axe stuck in a dummy. While he's struggling to get his axe free, Natalie comes out of hiding and beats the fuck out of him with her club. He drops his knife, and Brooke makes a run for it. The killer gets up, knocks Natalie to the floor, and bashes her in the face with his axe. Brooke has to choose her path to continue through hell... so she picks, like, it's either left or right.
Mm-hmm.
And she picks the one side, and suddenly the killer slashes his way out of the wall. He's like, fuck the maze! Just starts chopping through the wall.
It's like a fire axe.
Right? So, we cut to Natalie chasing after them with a broken nose. Brooke keeps setting off the laser triggers, making a ton of noise, alerting Butternut where she's going. You know, and Natalie continues to follow as well.
And she's yelling, Natalie, help me!
Help me! I'm gonna die! Butternut's gonna get me! So, Butternut tracks her down and corners her and is about to kill her when he triggers the last scare and the wall opens to reveal the animatronic, but Natalie is there with the knife. How did she get in there? And she jumps out and stabs him in the gut. So, he falls to the floor, bleeding from the belly. She grabs Brooke and they try to run. They almost get to the exit, and suddenly cops rush in.
And they're just, like, standing there like, don't shoot us. Right. Because what a fucking end.
Oh, my God. If they got gunned down, that would have been... That would have been really fucked up but funny.
I would have been laughing.
So, we get this slow-mo montage of the cops helping the girls, the lights turning on, the cops sweeping the maze looking for the killer. We pan by where he was on the floor, and we see a smear of blood, but no body.
And, again, not a lot of blood.
Yeah. He stuck his finger in the wound. He plugged it up.
Plug it up. He put a tampon in it. Then he took from the ladies' room.
That's why he went in there. He's like, in case I get wounded.
I'm just going to plug it with a tampon. It's like, this bitch is determined.
We cut to the cops telling Natalie and Brooke that they looked everywhere but couldn't find him. The girls look terrified, and the cops assure them they'll keep looking. Cut to a minivan driving through a suburban neighborhood while listening to the news, talking about the events that happened at the park. We see Butternut arriving home. He unlocks a small cabinet in his garage where we see a bunch of masks and little trinkets that he took from his various victims. He hangs up his wonky-eyed Butternut mask and puts the photos of Gavin and Natalie in there. We then see him walking into his house where we see a little girl asleep on the couch. He begins humming Pop Goes the Weasel and takes off his hood, although we still can't see his face. The little girl wakes up, excitedly exclaims, "Daddy, you're home," and rushes to hug him. She asks if he brought her anything, and he gives her one of the stuffed animals that he took off of Gavin. And title card, credits, the end. So, regular dude, just fucking psychopath.
And I like that we don't see his face, because he could be your neighbor.
Exactly. Well, and that's what I love so much about it.
Yeah.
The fact that he lived in a little fucking suburban neighborhood. You know, he's got a kid.
Look at BTK.
Right, right. Yeah. It's like, it's just... That sent such a shiver up my spine at the end of the movie. I'm like, oh my God, that was so good. So that alone is worth watching the film for.
And in the souvenir case, taped to the one door on the inside, there were like pictures of different girls, all with like long brown hair.
Yep.
So he had a type too.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good thing his daughter's a blonde.
Yeah. That's true.
Well, I've been keeping her alive.
Yep.
Like, but I wonder... And it would be interesting if they were to ever do a sequel. Like, does his wife fit that kind of type?
Right.
Like, is it because he really hates his wife? So that's what he does.
That was his first victim.
Ooh, maybe.
Oh.
We never see the wife. Dun, dun, dun. Hmm. But not a lot of trivia for this, but a couple things I found interesting. That most of the decorations used on set were borrowed from Six Flags Over Georgia's Fright Fest. So there's actually props from a real, like, haunted house. Many of the characters walking around Hellfest in the beginning are from the Netherworld haunted house in Georgia. And Netherworld is one of the top 10 haunted attractions in the United States. So something that one day I would love to go to. Tony Gardner, the designer of the Ghostface mask from Scream and Babyface from Happy Death Day, created the mask of Butternut.
Hmm.
So, I know he's called the other, but I'm still going to call him Butternut. He's forever Butternut now.
Mm-hmm.
But this actually, this I thought was kind of interesting too. It grossed $11.1 million in the United States, $7 million in other territories, so total of $18.1 million against its $5.5 million budget. So even though this is like a super low budget horror film that not a lot of people think much of, it did well.
Oh yeah.
You know, it tripled its budget, so... That's a successful horror film. But initially this was conceived to be a yearly horror series like Saw or Paranormal Activity, with a new sequel following every October. But, you know, as we said at the start, that kind of fell through. Which was a bummer, because I would have loved to see what they could do with this.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys have any final thoughts on Old Hellfest?
Well, if you haven't seen it, watch it, because it's a good haunted house movie.
That Agreed. It is.
Haunted attraction movie.
Yeah. Yes, I mean, exactly. Technically they go into haunted houses. But
And go support your local haunted houses.
Yeah, I wish we could this year because COVID and whatnot, but we'll be doing that haunted hayride thing at the end of the month because that's outside, so at least we could do that. But, yeah, I mean, for years, God, we've been doing this for a long time. For years we would go to different haunted houses.
Mm-hmm.
Fright World, I think, is the only one open now over here. Because Haunted Catacombs and House of Horror is shut down.
And so did Scare at the Fair, or whatever it ended up being called.
I think Gary Lake's still doing theirs.
Yeah. But it's a bummer, though, because I really loved House of Horrors and Haunted Catacombs. I miss the old-style Haunted Catacombs, where it was just, like, its own big standalone maze.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun. But, yeah. R.I.P.
You know what haunted house I never want to go to?
What's that?
McCamey Manor, or however you say it.
Oh, God, yeah, that dude's fucking psychotic.
Yeah, I don't ever want to...
Yeah, let's just take a second to talk about that. Like, for those of you that don't know, this is one of those things where they call it an extreme haunt. Really, it's a fucking sadist in his garage. Like, he has people kidnap you. Like, you have to sign up for it. You're kidnapped, and then they torture you for 12 hours. And it's stuff like waterboarding, you know, forcing you to eat disgusting things, and then if you vomit, they force you to eat your vomit. You know, they'll bury you alive with just, like, a little hose for air. Like, anybody who does this kind of shit is not right in the head. Like, that's just fucked. Like, you ain't proven shit by going through that.
That's out in California, isn't it?
Tennessee,
yeah. I remember watching that on Netflix where they were talking about the extreme haunts. I'm like, oh, fuck this guy.
Yeah, no.
Like, there's something. And then he videotapes it all and watches it back. I'm like, you know that's his fucking spank material.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh.
And it's, like, really expensive, and the wait list is, like, years long.
Yeah, really long. It's like, oh. And then they're like, but he gives all the money to charity. Oh, okay, yeah. It's a charitable donation after he fucking tortures people all night. Like, that's fucking gross. But now that I'll get off my soapbox. I remember watching that and I got angry. I was like, this guy fucking sucks.
Well, I remember, like, there was one of the houses, was it at Scare at the Fair, where we had to sign the waiver?
I didn't go through that one.
You didn't?
I wasn't there with you guys for that one.
I forgot who I went with, but, like, the worst thing that they did is, like, we knelt down and we had to, like, dig a key out of a toilet of shit.
Yeah.
That was, like, chocolate pudding. And if you stopped digging, they, like, nudged your shoulder to, like, go back down there and dig the key out. Like,
get in there.
Yeah, get in there. Get that key.
Go on, get.
But that was the worst thing. Like, it was not as extreme. That's as extreme as I would allow it to get.
There was one... It was a couple years back. I want to say, like, maybe 2015, 2016. And it might have been this same one. Like, I didn't go to it, but people at the hospital went. Like, a couple of the guards were going, and they had to sign a waiver. And there was this one guy who was... He's a smaller guy, about, like, you know, maybe, like, 5'4". They put him in a dress. They made him wear a dress. Then they tied him to a chair and left him in a room for 20 minutes by himself in the dark. And he was like, it wasn't fun, man. It fucking sucked.
I think I remember Jen Deo going to this one with me. Because I remember that they put, like, burlap bags over our heads.
Mm-hmm.
And they let us into the house that way. And we were handcuffed. And yeah. I remember, I'm pretty sure it was Jen Deo who went with me to that. And so Sean and Colin were probably with me, too.
Any of the ones that you have to sign a waiver for, I've always shied away from.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly because of shit like this. Like,
yeah.
You know, because I've always had that in the back of my head. Like, what if some psycho was working in one of these places? You know, like, I don't like that.
Yeah, you know? I get that. Yeah, I'm not going to be going to Tennessee anytime soon for that show.
Oh, hell no. But for those of you not following us on social medias... We are the Boogeyman's Closet on both Facebook and Instagram, and Maurice handles our Twitter, and what is that good, sir?
At Boogeyman's the...
Thank you very much. By the time you hear this, our double Halloween giveaway will be up on the social media, so definitely check that out if you're not following us. There's two big prize packs coming this month. We just gave away one of my favorite prize packs of the year in September.
Oh, that wreath, Crystal, that wreath... Congratulations.
You know how bad I wanted to keep... When my friend donated that, I'm like, oh, man. But she already made me the Jason wreath, I love that thing. So, yeah, hopefully... I'm trying to convince my buddy who made the Scream wreath, trying to convince her to make a few more and put them up online for sale because they are gorgeous. So we'll definitely post about that if I can convince her to make some more. But... We also have a Patreon, if you guys are interested. It's $3 a month for all of our unedited content, along with one special episode every month. And it's the Boogeyman's Closet on Patreon. So if you guys are into that kind of thing, get some extra episodes. And if you want to donate a little bit more money, you get stuff sent in the mail. So after this one, our next episode will be 115, and that will be Hell House LLC. So I know Susie's looking forward to this one.
I am really looking forward to this one. My husband, not so much me watching it again for probably the 20th time.
It's a solid flick. Actually, I like all three.
I do too. But he really hates it.
It's one of those movies. I've met a lot of people who either love it or hate it, or there's the random few, and I believe, Mike, you'll have to correct me on this one if I'm wrong, a random few people that I know that are just kind of like, meh, like, it's okay. I'm pretty sure Mike said that he was just kind of meh on it, but I know, I actually watched it, I believe, on your recommendation. It was either you or my sister. Somebody told me to watch it a couple years back, and I was like, holy crap, this is a lot of fun, and then I excitedly watched the sequels as they came out, so... Yeah.
The whole trilogy is on Shudder.
Yes. Yes. So, yeah. So, if you guys like to watch the episode, or watch the movie before we get to the episode, our next one will be Hell House LLC. But, yeah. So, I guess with that, we will shut this one down. So, as always, this is Mike saying goodbye.
See ya.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed what you heard, follow us on Instagram at The Boogeyman's Closet, where you can stay up to date with everything we have planned.